chapter number 1 and verse number 3. That's interesting. I mean, tonight, my title is just simply Heaven. Heaven. And you would think, well, what do you need to preach on heaven for? Everybody knows we're going to heaven. Everybody believes in heaven. Well, do they? Do they? Amen. Praise God. I mean, you know, people that believe in heaven, there's a hope in them that purifies. If you really believe in heaven, it's going to start changing your life. And some people may doubt whether heaven's really real. You know, some people think, you know, it's just how the enemy works. And it's just like Brother Peter brought out. You know, a lot of people think, well, I'll take that mark and I'll go ahead and get that stuff. And then when that time comes and I need to pull it out, I'll pull it out. No, it's too late. You've done been deceived. You've been sealed your doom. You see, you got to be wise aforehand. You got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Did you know you had a reservation? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated again tonight. God of heaven, help us here tonight to move with your spirit and to receive instruction from above. God, as you are trying to prepare our hearts and our minds for the work you have for us in these last days. Amen. This is a reference that Peter gives to the reality that there is a reservation in heaven for you and I as believers. Through Jesus Christ, the very resurrection of Jesus Christ, the very power, the very miracle that transpired after the cross and after he died and after that precious blood was shed and that precious blood was offered up for the sacrifice for the sins of the world, then he was dead, he was buried, but praise be to God, that third day he rose again. Amen. To show forth the power that he has over death and over all things. And the Bible declares that all power has been given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. Let that sink in just for a moment. Is there anybody more powerful than God? Well, then why do we doubt? Because sometimes we doubt. When we're in the midst of the fire, we doubt. But yet we know God's word says all power has been given unto him. There's things going to transpire on the face of this earth that are not going to take God by surprise. He already knows all about it. We've already made mention here in previous service how that evil is merely the absence of God. It doesn't exist by itself. It only exists if God's not there. And so the evil that's in this world is the evidence that the world has forsaken God. Because when God is not present and acknowledged and honored, then evil prevails. You see, we've got to realize that in our own personal lives, the only way evil will prevail in our personal life if there's his absence of God. Once again, we're back to square one. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God so we don't have an absence of God. Hallelujah. Because if there is an absence of God, there will evil will come on the scene. That's the only way it can come, if there's an absence of God. You see, this is why that born-again believer filled with the Holy Ghost of God is more than a conqueror, is a victor. Hallelujah. And though the battle gets hard and the battle gets rough and the battle gets hot, he will still not quit. He will. And I use the metaphor he, but that's she. We as believers will not stop. Amen. Just because the going gets tough. We just keep going because the Spirit of God keeps filling up. Amen. And so we see here then the reality is there's a reservation in heaven. The word heaven is found 551 times in the King James Bible. 551 times heaven is mentioned. Now, do you believe God's word? Woo! You know, if it was mentioned twice, it'd be enough, wouldn't it? At the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established, is God's word, is what he commanded the children of Israel. If someone was going to be condemned to death, it had to be by two witnesses, at least two witnesses. So if that scripture of heaven was found in the Bible twice, that'd be enough to make it real. And so I want to give you a little insight into the word heaven here tonight and how it's used in the Bible. And actually, there's actually three heavens mentioned in the Bible. It's kind of like what Brother Peter was bringing to our knowledge about the mark of the beast. Now I'm going to bring to our knowledge about the reality of heaven and when the Bible talks about heaven and give us an understanding which one it's talking about. The thing is God is ruling all of them. But the first heaven, in Daniel chapter 4, verse number 11, is talking about the vision that he had and the tree that grew. And at verse number 7 says, the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. And the beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the bowels thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And so this first heaven that the Bible's talking about is what we would consider the first heaven, which would be the atmosphere that we breathe. The atmosphere all around the earth that makes this planet a place where human beings and animals and fowl of the air, everything can survive and live on the oxygen that's been provided in this first heaven. Amen. Are you thankful heaven's real? Are you thankful for the air that you're breathing here tonight? Praise God. God created it. It's considered the first heaven. And so then in Psalm 19 and 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. This is the second heaven mentioned in the Bible. This heaven is a reference to the outer space, outside our atmosphere, in outer space where the moon, the stars, the other planets of our solar system are. This is the second heaven. And God's handiwork is shown in the second heaven. The stars that we see and all the constellations out there in this second heaven that God has created, and the stars, the Bible declares that he knows every one of them by name. Scientists have declared that there's 76 trillion stars in our solar system, give or take a few. And God knows them by name. Wow. I mean, church, we got to start putting God on the level that he's on. Hallelujah. He's created all of this. Everything that you can see, God has created. And so this first heaven, he's created for you and I to live. The second heaven, he's created for you and I to observe, to enjoy, and realize the vastness and the power that our God has. Wow. Isn't that just like God? And now the third heaven that the Bible talks about. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 2, and I made reference to this in one of my messages not here too long ago, and here's where the text was found. in 2 Corinthians 12:2, it says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, I realize Paul's talking like he's not the man. But in reality, most scholars believe Paul's talking about himself. I personally, my personal thought on it, is this is when he was stoned and he died, and he went to heaven. But it wasn't time for him to stay there. And that's when he, once again in my mind, pushed those stones off of his body, climbed up out of the rubble of those stones, dusted himself off, and said, let's go preach some more, guys. And he went back into the city. I personally believe this is when this happened. I personally believe it was Paul that it happened to, because he had a thorn in his flesh that came after this. And God said, my grace is sufficient. There was something that he had to struggle with to keep himself humbled, because he had saw things that were not lawful for man to see and tell everybody else about. You've got a reservation in a place called heaven, that third heaven, that you have no earthly idea what it's going to be like, other than the fact that God says, I've got a reservation there for you. And Jesus told us that there's mansions being prepared there. And I'm going to read some scriptures here in a minute. And the Bible tells us that we need to start laying up treasures in heaven. Hallelujah. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So if you're more heavenly minded than you are earthly minded, you're going to do this earth a lot of good. To the contrary of those who have said, well, if you get too heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. That is not true. That is not correct. The more heavenly minded you are, the greater good you're going to do on the face of this earth, because you're not going to be bound by this world. You're not going to live after this world. You're going to be living after heaven, that home that you're headed for, that is a great reality in your heart and in your soul, because you're full of the Holy Ghost. Whew, hallelujah. That's the third heaven I'm talking about. We also talked about, and Brother Shelton preached it to us Sunday night, about the comforter and the earnest of our inheritance, that Spirit of God, that infilling of the Holy Ghost. Our inheritance is the third heaven. The Holy Ghost is the earnest of the third heaven. Now, how many's ever read that scripture or heard that scripture? Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God's prepared for them that love him. How many's heard that scripture? Do you know what the next scripture says? Everybody always stops at that one and starts going on about how we don't know what heaven's going to be like, and we don't understand. And sorry, that's not what the rest of the Bible says. The immediate scripture, it's not in my text here tonight, not on my notes, but the next scripture says, but the Spirit of God has revealed unto us. Woo! Hallelujah! What's heaven going to be like? It's going to be the greatest thing you've ever encountered, because it's going to be even greater than encountering the Spirit of God filling your soul and bringing joy unspeakable and full of glory, bringing peace beyond understanding, bringing power that you never dreamed you could live that close to God. Those are the things he's prepared for us in this first heaven. The Spirit of God revealing the third heaven and the presence and the power of God in our personal lives. Brother Reed preached, you know, he's a personal Spirit of God. He's for me and he's for you. He's the comforter. Brother Shelton preached it Sunday night. He's that comforter that has come, and he's come to help us know Christ, know God, without doubt, fear, or unbelief. Amen. The Spirit of God is the one that's going to bring this wonderful Word of God alive. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see then this third heaven is real. It's a place this man went to, and he calls it paradise, and he heard unspeakable words. In other words, he heard things that he couldn't share with anybody. Would that not be so maddening? To know the scoop of the greatest thing that man could ever hear and not be able to share it. Glory. Hallelujah. You see, it's a place that's prepared. It's a place that's real. Psalm 11 and 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. This is a reference to the third heaven. His eyes behold and his eyelids try the children of men. Setting from that third heaven, he knows exactly what's going on in the first heaven. The Bible makes mention to the fact that the earth is his footstool. Once again, do you believe God's word? See, that's very important. Do not allow the enemy to bring you to a place where you do not believe this is God's word. If you do not believe this is God's infallible, preserved word of God, you'll probably end up being lost. Because without the infallible word of God, you have no directive for life. Why in the world do you think the world is so messed up? Because they took the word out of the schools. Thus they took it out of the lives of young people. And then, scholars decided that this needed a little work done to it. And so they decided, scholars, that's, you know, teachers in Bible schools. I'm not against a good Bible school. But these theologians and these scholars were no more led of the Spirit of God when they thought they needed a new translation. That's not what they were really after. What they were really after is to bring confusion in the minds of young people. To bring doubt on God's word. What are you going to do now? King James Version has Mark chapter 16 in it. The NIV version, when it came out, didn't have that one in it. Which one's right now? Now you got a choice. Does that sound familiar? God said, don't eat of that tree in the midst of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil. Because there's a tree of life. See, they had a choice. So how are you going to know which one's right? The one that's been tested, tried, and true for years and years and years. That has brought salvation to souls throughout the decades and the ages. Hallelujah. There was never a need for a new translation. And the saddest part about that new translation is it wasn't a translation at all. It was just a group of men and women who brought it down to what they thought it was. You'll read it right in the front of it. This is paraphrased. Paraphrased means we read it and we wrote it like we wanted it. Now, what good's that going to do anybody? How many in here have heard the term situational ethics? If you've been to college, I know you heard it. Just going to public schools, you may not hear that. But you're taught it. Situational ethics. proverbial. You have three men in a lifeboat. You only have enough provisions for 2 days for three people, 4 days for two people, 5 days for one. Here's the question. Who are you going to throw overboard and feed to the sharks so you can survive longer until someone comes to help you? You realize everybody is going to have a different answer. What would your answer be? Whoa. We're not going to throw anybody overboard. We're going to call a fast and we're going to pray. And the very God of heaven is going to send help because I'm serving him. See, that's not any of the choices in a public school because they took the word of God out. And so what they're trying to do is to make you decide who's going to die. And now they're doing it on a big scale level called abortion. So where'd this all start? I don't know how I got here, but I'm here because I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about heaven wanting to be part of the first heaven, the third heaven wanting to be part of the first heaven. God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's talking about the third heaven. Hallelujah. God, you moving here on earth as you're moving in heaven, that third heaven. Hallelujah. So that's why we're here. That's why we're talking about this, because this is the undertow of stealing the faith of young people. Everything of this world wants to steal your faith in God and wants to try to declare to you that God is big, bad, and evil because he doesn't treat everybody the same. You know, he's not a socialist. He's a king. See, that messes some people up who are social-minded. He's a king to be followed, honored, and obeyed because he's the one that died for the salvation from sin. Now, what is sin? We're back to the age-old question. What is sin? Is there absolute truth? I dealt with this in my younger years in Passions. What is truth? Is that not what Pilate said all the way back at Jesus Christ's trial? What is truth? Jesus simply told him, my kingdom's not of this world. He didn't argue with him what truth was, because the truth was right in front of him. When someone asks what is truth, they're running from it. They're running from it. Amen. Bill Nye, he's running from it. Yeah. But see, you can't convince them. That's fine. But it's evident they're running from truth because they won't acknowledge it. Is that not what happened when Jesus came into this world? They loved darkness rather than light. And light was right in front of them. The third heaven was right there in their midst of the first heaven. Woo, hallelujah. And so we see then the reality that God's word is true. It's forever settled in heaven. Once again, it's forever settled in the third heaven. Hallelujah. And what we're doing as believers is trying to bring that truth alive in the first heaven. Amen. Being that light to shine. So heaven's real here tonight. It's just as real as you are. It's a real place. God's temple's there. Hallelujah. He's looking down upon society. And wherever men will allow him to come in, he'll be there. And there'll be no more evil, but newness of life, an abundant life. Lindsay shared it with us tonight from some of her scriptures. The abundance of life that God wants to bring. But if God is absent, I keep reiterating that, then evil will be present. See, the only way to get evil out of our lives is to be filled with God. That's the only way. Praise God. That's just the pattern of the Scripture is born again by the Spirit of God. Our past sins washed away. The newness of life comes in, filled with the Spirit of God, and then thus begin to walk in the light of the Lord, in the Spirit of God. See, this is why then evil will not prevail in our personal lives, because God's there. This is why the Bible talks about and admonishes us not to grieve the Spirit of God and not to quench the Spirit of God. Because when we grieve the Spirit of God and we quench the Spirit of God, what we are doing is we are pushing God out of our life. God's presence, we're pushing it away. We're not wanting what He's wanting. Guess what? If He's moving away, what's coming in? I mean, what happens if we turn off one light switch? Lucas, go back here and turn off a light switch. Any one of them. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. What happens when you turn one off? Oh, darkness is moving in. It sure is, isn't it? Why did that light go off? Well, because God was dealing with me about something and I didn't want to listen to Him. I didn't want to hear what He had to say, so I just pulled away from Him. I just run from Him. Yeah, you can run from God. Go read Jonah. Jonah didn't get very far, though, did he? Woo! What happens if you turn off two lights? Whoa. Man. How about three? See, now it's got to the point, I don't know if I can even read my scriptures. Why? Because darkness, the minute light is absent, darkness prevails. This is why God used light and darkness to help you and I understand and see plainly what happens if He's not present in our lives. Darkness comes in. And if we just keep going, hit them all, Brother Lucas. Turn them all off. That's what our heart will look like. Wow. If the light that's in you be darkness, great is that darkness. Hit him back on, Brother Lucas. You see the reality of heaven coming down and being in me. And that light coming down and being in me. When I say me, I'm talking about us. Hallelujah, as the believers of God. And so we see then, and I'm just going to run through this and try to hurry. It says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that the heaven, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Wow. That's Matthew 18 and 10. Angels are in that third heaven, and they're aware of what's going on down here. See, we don't understand or fathom the third heaven, but what it is we got to believe it's real. And the way we tap into that third heaven is by the Spirit of God, the Word of God coming alive in us. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. I made mention of this a while ago. Where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. And thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Luke 15:7, I say unto you likewise, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Once again, that's the third heaven. Rejoicing joy going on in the third heaven when a sinner repents and comes to Christ. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I like that. If it were not so, I would have told you. That lets me know that God's word is sufficient. What I need to know, found right here. Hallelujah. What I need for life, it's found right there. What I need for victory, it's found right there. What I need for healing, it's found right there. Amen. It's God's word and me taking him at his word and believing his word. Hallelujah. And that's, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That reservation in that third heaven. Hallelujah. The scriptures just tell us all about it. I mean, where's Jesus coming from when that trumpet sounds and there's a shout? Where's he coming from? He's coming from that third heaven. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And we've already established his throne was in the third heaven. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Praise our God. Amen. So it does make a difference what you believe, and it does make a difference what you live. It does make a difference. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Yeah, it does make all the difference in the world what's in the heart. It does. But what's in the heart will make all the difference in the world of what I do and how I live and how I'm getting ready and what I believe. Hallelujah. Because I believe in the book. I believe in the blood. And I believe in the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Heaven is real, church. Amen. The mark of the beast is real and it's coming. It's in the world now. It's prepped. It's ready. There's really nothing holding back the rise of the Antichrist except the Holy Ghost and the true church. That is the only thing that's holding back the onslaught of evil. Because there's still a presence of God here. And he's here tonight. Glory to God. He's in you. He's in me. There's a presence of God here. But you let a rapture take place and you let the church be caught out of here. Guess what? There's going to be an absence of God. And what happens when there's an absence of God? Evil takes over. You think it's evil right now. You don't want to be left behind. Because then evil will be seen everywhere. And it will manifest itself in death. Oh yeah. Whether you believe it or not, when that mark comes, there's going to be some hard-headed people say, I ain't going with this government thing. They're not washed in the blood. Their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But they ain't going to serve the government either. I know a few folks like that. They need to get saved so they don't have to worry about it. Amen. But see, they're already up against what's happening. They see what's happening and they're going to fight against it. But it will be in vain. Because the only hope against it is Christ and the power of God. Because where Christ and the power of God is evil is pushed back. Wow. Praise God. I mean, that's just what happened when Jesus come on the scene. The devils trembled. They knew who he was. Most other folks didn't know who he was, but they knew who he was. And they trembled at the thought that he was going to judge them right then and there to the lake of fire. Because they know that's where they're headed. That's why they ask him, well, can we go in the swine? Don't judge us now. Isn't that just like the devil? Always whining and wanting mercy, but never taking advantage of it. Never able to take advantage of it, because he doesn't have the opportunity for salvation. But we do. We do. Hallelujah. That's why we don't want to listen to the lies of the enemy. We want to listen to the Spirit of God and the Word of God when he starts tugging on our conscience, pulling on our inner man, pulling on us, and trying to pull us into the depths of the kingdom of God, the heights. Hallelujah. Praise God. Could I have a piano player again tonight? Heaven. Heaven. Glory. It's an awesome thing to know heaven's real. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That same witness is that reality of heaven. Because that's where our Father is at. And we are the children of God. And thus, we are dwelling in that third heaven with Christ. We're sitting in heavenly places. That's what the Bible says, with Christ Jesus. That's talking about that third heaven. It's not talking about sitting in the stars. It's talking about being in the presence of God. Because our sins are washed away. And we found that submission to the Spirit of God. Thus having that fullness of relationship. That fullness of joy. Amen. That fullness of joy. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Heaven is real. And it's waiting for us. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. The Bible says we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen. Making those wise choices, those wise decisions, and being led by the Spirit of God when to speak and when to be quiet. Hallelujah. Letting God have His way in our lives will allow that love, that charity, to flow from our lives. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Glory to our God. If we could, let's find us a place to pray. And let's close here tonight with a time of rejoicing. A time of prayer and rejoicing in God. Because heaven's real. And because God is bringing heaven to us. Hallelujah.